The Space God Memoirs. Season 2, Episode 9. Around me was empty darkness, all my extremities numb, their crackling in my ears. Seconds ago, I had stepped through a portal of rippling liquid metal, a gateway into one of the Nyar trials. So all the trippy weirdness wasn't such a surprise. When the darkness cleared, I was alone. I stood in a narrow corridor, the walls of a red, porous, coral-like material. At my back was a dead end. Ahead, the corridor went on for a few meters before stopping at an intersection. My awareness had a dreamlike quality, my body lighter, my senses more distant. The whole scene was lit by a blue light from somewhere above.
Initiate, this is a test of your reasoning ability. Proceed through this trial until you find the exit.
Great. Some kind of maze. Figuring I might as well get this over with, I proceeded forward. I soon reached the intersection, presented with the fascinating choice of left or right. I peeked in each direction. Both paths led to near identical-looking hallways, each eventually resulting in 90-degree turns. I looked around for markings or writings. Nothing like that to be found. Yep, a scraggin' maze. On a whim, I went left. As good a choice as any. I made sure to note the direction in my mind. The passage immediately made a sharp right turn. Then, a few meters after that, a left turn. And shortly thereafter, another left. In 10-ish meters, I came to another intersection. Either right or forward. Again, noting my choice, I continued straight. And 10-ish meters after that, I was again presented with the choice of right turn or forward. Once more, I went forward, hoping this wasn't some kind of magical looping maze that would trap me in an infinite repeating pattern. Apparently not. Shortly thereafter, the corridor forced me to make a left turn, which I obviously followed. And 10 scragging meters after that, I was given, again, the wonderful choice of right or forward. This time I took a right turn. After about 12 seconds of walking, the path made another abrupt right turn, which quickly took me to a dead end.
Come on, Kef, this is not the way to do it.
Rayleigh's chipper voice spoke from within.
Rayleigh!
I responded, feeling an inner warmth. I've missed you. I was starting to think you had just disappeared or something.
Nope. Been here the whole time, just taking it all in. All the diverse and different technologies, all these Nyar customs and behaviors. It may be a bit frustrating being in your back seat, but I've been plenty occupied. And it's definitely not lonely in your head, that's for sure.
I felt a curious vibration running through me, and a sense of movement. Then Rayleigh herself stepped out of me, looking just like I remembered her. A short and curvy girl with a puffed up head of hair and a belt full of tools. Rayleigh took in our surroundings, before looking back at me with a familiar wink.
This place is mostly a mental simulation, she stated. Thus, my ability to just show up like this.
She gestured at the maze around us.
I'm honestly surprised that such advanced beings would put up something so simple as a maze to test their initiates in the virtue of reason. Any old Duga master can solve a maze, given the right tools after all.
I'll have you know, Rayleigh, that I'm not just any old Duga master.
Yeah, I can tell. But seriously, you gotta either mark your course with something or make a map. If this is a standard maze, that should do it. But I'm suspecting there has to be something more.
Not sure about marking my course. I don't think they gave me any chalk. Don't even got a shiv or anything on me.
Then a map it is.
All the same, they didn't provide me with a paper or pencil.
Don't need it. While you've been busy with your space battles and zany adventures, I've had plenty of time to look around in this brain of yours. It's sufficiently more advanced than what we had back in Aruvis, with enough memory and processing power to keep a visualized and accurate map of a simple area in the corner of your mind while multitasking. That I was a bit dubious about, and didn't hide my doubts from Rayleigh. I don't feel any smarter. It's quite simple, actually. You see, another thing I've discovered in here is that your mind, and probably everyone else's, keeps a memory of basically everything you see, from people to places. On a planet like Aruvis, it all gets locked away in your subconscious. And most people have no idea how to access those memories. Basically, we were operating like animals, focused on survival. But the Nyar mind is designed to run multiple thought patterns simultaneously. And how do I do that? Let me show you. Rayleigh stepped towards me and reached up at my head. Her hand went straight through my skull. It felt all tingly as she ran her little fingers around in there. It was like she was making modifications to a machine, and I could feel my inner architecture shifting. It tickled. "There," she said, pulling her hand out of my head. "That should do it. I aligned your visualization centers directly with your memory. You should have no trouble mapping this place out now." Rayleigh looked up at me, warmth in her brown eyes, smile on her lips. "Well, I guess it's time for me to head back in." "Hold up," I said as she began stepping towards me. "Honestly, this has been super weird for me. First you're dead, which totally scragged me up. And then it turns out you're still alive, somewhere in my head. But stuff has been so crazy lately, I can barely tell which thoughts are my own anyway." Rayleigh looked up at me and raised one eyebrow, keeping the smile. "Ugh, I know I'm rambling. What I meant to say is that I miss you. Birds, too. Will I see you again soon?" "Whenever you need to, Kef. I'm essentially there all the time. That won't change soon unless something drastic happens or I find my way into a new body. I see everything you see, maybe even some stuff you don't. Just think of me and I'll be there." I nodded, returning her smile with a wide grin of my own. Rayleigh stepped forward and into me, causing a flush of warmth to course through my form. Whatever Rayleigh had jimmied up in my mind, it worked. I could easily envision the layout of this place, every turn and corner, every twist and intersection. As I walked down the halls again, I scanned the walls with my eyes and added to that inner map, step by step. A left turn, a right turn, turn after turn after turn, my inner map getting ever more complete. After walking for a good 45 minutes, I could see that mental map like it was actually in my vision, and the layout of the place was clear, clearly impossible. There was no exit. The hallways went round and round, a complex series of angles and loops that ultimately went nowhere. I could feel the dismay pouring from Rayleigh. She loved mazes, but this was no maze. It was a trap. What kind of scraglord test of Nyar reason was this? Reason my ass. I stopped walking and let out a huge groan. I leaned up against a nearby wall, let my body slide to the ground. There I sat, giving my thoughts a break, as I plopped my butt down on the porous ground and let the slight breeze from above cool my skin. The breeze from above. A breeze that had to be coming from somewhere. I finally looked up. The walls of the maze continued up about 30 feet. The ceiling stood way above that. The walls were clearly climbable, of a porous, coral-like material. The exit had to be up there. I put my hands on the wall and began climbing, the handholds easy to find. Before I knew it, I had reached the top, hefting my body onto the wall. When I looked down, I could see the whole layout of the maze playing itself out, a maze that had no exit from within. But as I began walking across the tops of the walls, I could clearly make out another archway opposite me at the far end of this hidden upper floor. I chuckled. Should have been scraggin' obvious. That was the whole point of this test all along. Not to solve some stupid maze, but to realize that you didn't even have to. Maybe real reason wasn't just figuring out problems and solving puzzles, but in stepping back and knowing what is and isn't a puzzle. My chuckle turned into full-on laughter as I sauntered across the top of the maze and finally reached the archway on the other side. There was a in my head as I placed my hands on the arch, and a familiar curtain of liquid metal appeared.
"Test completed," it said.
I stepped on through. When my senses returned to me, I stood at the entrance to an expansive chamber. The scent of fresh blooms and growing things inundated it. An invigorating moistness hung in the air. Before me opened a grand cavern, filled to the brim with vines, just like outside. The room's center, a perfect sapphire pyramid, rose upward, its translucent surface inset with gilded runes, its insides aglow with the blue light of Atra-infused Nyarlathotep. Where the blue light shone upon the otherwise gray vines, they seemed to take on a surprising vitality, growing increasingly greener and filled with life the closer they got to that pyramid, as if the presence of the Nyar temple had somehow enlivened the Vayr plant weapons. From the vines blossomed a variety of star-shaped flowers in pinks, blues, and yellows, beautiful and delicate things growing in orderly patterns, symmetrically placed across the cavern walls and floors, just like that Atra-filled garden up on Shivnar. The grand chamber smelled of sweetness and freshness, the floral aromas merging with the earthy scent of the cave to produce a fragrance both heady and grounding. I pondered at how these seemingly opposed technologies had somehow fallen into harmony here, the deadly plant-based weapons becoming beautiful and orderly gardens under the light of their enemy's temple. All in all, the scene was stunning, a touch of life in an otherwise dead space. I stepped into the cavern. I wondered where Z was. Did she have to go through a test like mine? As if in reaction to my thought, her slender blue-skinned form appeared behind a vine cluster. Zerathra looked different. She was wearing a type of toga, green with a floral pattern on it, her hair decorated with a wreath of matching flowers. She kept a change of clothes in her fighter craft? Or was this more weird technology at work? Either way, the outfit was far more flattering than that nondescript flight suit from earlier. So I wasn't gonna complain.
"Ah, I see that you have finally emerged," she said as she strolled towards me. "You have completed the first of the virtue trials, as is expected of any initiate."
Yeah, it was no problem. With a bit of help, I sent a mental nudge to Rayleigh. Zerathra met my eyes and she nodded.
"Indeed, as was expected. I am well aware of the passengers you carry. Your situation is unusual, but not unheard of. In many ways, a Nyar is never truly alone."
I kept my gaze locked to her almond-shaped eyes, wondering at how many personas dwelt within their starry depths. "So, this is the core, then?" I asked, finally breaking away and gesturing to the expansive cavern behind her.
"The temple's core itself lies inside that pyramid. Within is where newly tested initiates would link up with the monadic network for the first time. Once within, we'll be able to do the same for you, and also contact our fleet."
Zerathra spun away from me and headed towards the pyramid, her feet touching softly on the gardened path. I was relieved to see that these vines did not reach out towards us. I walked at her side, a freshness upon my skin. "I'm guessing these gardens aren't part of the original construction here," I asked as we walked.
"They seem to be an unintended side effect of our two technologies colliding, albeit a pleasant one."
Z took a deep breath and stretched out her arms wide as she strolled through the gardens, with her unusually symmetrical flower arrangements.
"It is a sign that the Atra is still strong in this place. A properly charged monadic core tends to alter the morphogenetic fields of life around it, imposing order on what would otherwise be chaotic."
I paused, taking in a breath and feeling the tingle of what must have been the Atra filling my lungs. I closed my eyes briefly and then let out that breath. When I opened them, I could see it fully. The resplendent particles dancing around the chamber and filling it with a million points of light. This place was absolutely filled with the stuff. The pyramid almost hard to look at, a glow like superheated metal. It radiated from somewhere within, the core, and spun outward until it touched upon every viney growth, inundating them with its energetic pattern. "Wow." There was a tap on my left arm, Z ushering me forward. I shook the atrocyte from my eyes and followed her. The pyramid, its deep blue surface aglow in the darkness, loomed ever larger as we drew closer. A thrumming caressed my skin, with a matching noise on the edges of my hearing. Soon we were there, next to the seamless sapphire wall of the structure, pulsing with its radiance. Zerathra waved her hand in front of the wall, and an oval-shaped door formed. The thrum grew louder. Light shone from within. I gulped, wondering what craziness awaited in the core.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Space God Memoirs. Space God is written, performed, and produced by A.M. Arctos. Original musical score by Alpha Colors. Various sound effects created by Industrial Strength Records Incorporated. Please support this podcast by following, rating, and sharing on your favorite social media site. For further info on Space God, its creator, and various other opinions, musings, and thoughts, go to www.spacegodmemoirs.com or follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. If you enjoyed the Space God Memoirs, please consider supporting us by becoming a patron. Check out the Patreon link in our description to learn more.